all these lovely faces. Glad you guys are doing here, doing good today. Glad to see everybody this morning. Fired up for the Lord, are we this morning?
Yes.
Excited to do some things, man. I know. Last night, got a chance, me and Richard got a chance to go over to Mississippi College and check out a football game. And it was beautiful. Had a great time there, you know, watching them play. I thought that poor quarterback was going to run his energy out. Seemed like he was running on every play, but it was exciting. It was cool. The weather was nice. I thought, man, this is nice. No bugs flying around. And we actually sat in some seats we weren't supposed to sit in, but we were extended some grace from the people there. And they said, you can stay here. I was like, awesome. The seats, you know, you go to games and they have bleachers. And usually it's just bleachers, but these bleachers had backs on where you can lean back and relax. I'm like, oh, this is nice. I like this. I like these seats. And we just sat in a perfect area. So thought it was great. It was a great time just hanging out. Great weather. Enjoyed it. Looking forward to when we tailgate out there. Still trying to figure out those details, but man, really am excited about that. Hey guys, this morning we're going to talk about building healthy relationships. Remember, we're talking about building health, but building healthy relationships with the lost. Those who need God, whether they know it or not. Those who think they know God, whether they know it or not. You know, we are building healthy relationship with the lost, wanting to help other people find their way to God. As the song say, show them the way. That's what we do. We want to show them the way, but we want them to come and be a part of our great family. Be excited to be here. Not just to come and keep the seats warm, but we want them to be engaged. We want them to be a part of what's going on. We want them to take the lead in certain things, like, hey, you can take charge of this. It kind of manages and help bring it together. So we want to bring people into our excitement, our joy. And our joy is that we love building our relationship with the Lord. We're talking about building today healthy relationships with the lost. So the question is, who is lost? Well, apparently it's everyone that's what? Not saved. Well, who's not saved? Well, guess what? We, or I should say you and I, will not know this until we go out and build relationships. So we're going to have to go and build some relationships. You know, jobs kind of force you to build relationships because they need you to work with other people to achieve a certain goal or to attain a certain goal. You know, school forces you to work with other people. You wish you could just go there and do your own work, but this teacher gets the great idea of we're going to have a group project. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you got to work with other people. And you pray that other people are on point and doing their part. There's nothing worse than somebody not pulling their load. And you're holding me from getting this good grade because I really need this grade to make this class or to pass this class. You know, so there are certain things that forces us to build relationships, whether we want to or not. But for us in the kingdom of God, we are excited about building relationships because it is helping other people, but it is also helping us. It's building our character. It's helping us to become people persons, or whether we like it or not. That's what it's helping us to do. Building a relationship is about being intentional. Are you an intentional person? Are you intentional? Some of us are a little more laid back, some of us not. So I'm loving, we're going to therapy with my wife. You know, she's doing a great job, you know, and it's proud of her, you know. And she, you know, her sense of humor is coming back because she's giving me those certain looks that I remember when I say certain things, you know. So I'm starting to notice those things. And she says certain things around the house, I'm like, oh, these parts are coming back quickly. I'm looking for the other part to come back quickly, but these other little things are coming back real quick, I'm noticing. But, you know, so the guy, you know, one thing he talks about, shares about, he says, we're going to build your confidence up and doing a lot of things, you know, just build that back up, getting you comfortable knowing that you can do it. And so one of the phrases he uses with her as Sharice is walking, and sometimes, you know, Sharice will drag her feet a little bit, so we have to encourage her to pick it up. But he always tells her, he had this drill sergeant voice coming here, pick it up. You know, so Sharice has kindly made a joke out of that, like, every time she walks, like, Lord, pick it up. So, you know. But he's intentional about what needs to be done, what needs to happen. We need to feel intentional about, I need to build some relationships with some people. And there's a whole bunch of people to build relationships with. And you know, those that I'm building with, I need to pray for all of them. Some are going to come, some are not, but I still need to be intentional about building. And building a relationship with people is also about praying for people. We need to have that in our mindset. So we need to be intentional as we build a relationship. You know, like Jesus, you are here for a purpose. You know, like Jesus, you must interact with other people. You just have to. When you're speaking, you're going to have to interact. You cannot say, even if you felt like, I'm just not going to speak to nobody else at all, I promise you, when you get to a cash register, they're going to, especially at Kroger's, they're going to say, do you have your Kroger's card? You got to respond. That's it. That's it. If you're going to pay a bill, you got to respond. There's just certain things you're going to have to respond to. You cannot avoid it. So God makes it clear, no matter how little you want to be interactive, how little you want to be engaged with people, God said, you always got to interact with somebody.
That's
so
right.
We just need to get it on our heart to be like Jesus and realize, like Jesus, I got a purpose. Like Jesus, I am meant to interact with other people. Let me enjoy, let me be excited about that. Our interactions with the lost must be healthy. And the question is, how do we view healthy relationships? I want to read something to you. I always try to find things and read things. It says, what do you want most out of life? Most of us would rank healthy relationships high on the list. Except for knowing Christ and having eternal life, healthy relationships make life enjoyable, perhaps more than anything else. Even if your health isn't the best, if you have loving relationships, you can enjoy life. You can make a pile of money, but if your relationships are broken or shallow, your life will be empty. A poor man with a loving family and good friends is far richer than a rich man who is poor relationally.
Mm-hmm.
This is true. We love relationships. We need it. We like having people in our lives. Some of us like having 100 people. Some of us like I'm good with one person. But the point is, we like having relationships in our life. That's healthy. That's healthy. Having somebody I can spend time with, build with, do certain things with. We get along. We see eye to eye. We connect on certain issues. I like hanging out with you. Had a great time with Rich last night. Man, the game, we sat in these certain bleachers with these seats. But one of the coolest things about sitting there with him was the way they got to sit them said is you get to watch the sun set in the west. Red over the sky. I was like, are you kidding me? This is nice. And me and Richard talked about a whole bunch of things. And Richard knowing football, Richard kept saying, why they winning a triple option all the way? The quarterback, I was learning a lot. Why are they so close together? I said, they're close. I guess you're all right, you know. But it was just cool hanging out and looking at them. You know, I felt like I was with an ESPN commentator. He's like, dissecting the game. I'm telling you, this is what they need to do. I'm like, yeah, all right. Uh-huh, go ahead. But it was fun just hanging out and we just talking and then just listening and we had a great time and Richard knew all the penalties. Rich said, there's a penalty. So what penalty is this? I'm like, well, what are they doing? You know, Rich said, I'm telling you, this is a so-and-so penalty. I'm like, oh, okay. So, but it was just fun hanging out, building with him in this way and watching the sunset and the weather was cool and no bugs. I'm like, man, sometimes when you have moments like that in relationships, you're like, why can't it stay like this forever? You have a Peter moment when he's on the top of the mountain with Jesus, James, and John. He's like, Lord, let me put up some tents and let's just stay like this. This is great. And the Lord like, nah, brother, it's getting a little too excited. Just listen to Jesus and come on down off the mountain. We got work to do, you know, but you have to, you know, realize relationships are healthy and they are good. Guys, we're going to jump over to Colossians, the book of Colossians. We're going to talk about good and healthy relationships with the lost. And the one thing we're going to read here first is actually Colossians. Let me get over here. Colossians chapter 3, which is one of the great books to read. All of them are good. This one has a great focus. Let me get there. I'm going to read verse 1 through 2 for you guys. And it says, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Verse 2 says, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. God, first thing we want to talk about here is, first point is mindset, your mindset, and where your heart is. Talk about your mindset and where your heart is. Well, I've already told you where my mind was at last night's football game. It was just great. And where your heart is. You know, when building healthy relationships or seeking to build some healthy relationships, it does require your mind, require some focus. Mm-hmm. And it's going to require your heart to be all in. If your mind is not focused on building and if your heart's not all in, guess what? It's not going to happen. it's not going to happen. So let me ask you a question. Where is your mind these days? You ever think about that? Where is your mind these days when it comes to just building healthy relationships? Where's your heart at? Is your heart really into, like, man, I really want to dive in and meet somebody new. I really want to dive in and build with them, hang out with them. Really want to see what's going on with their lives. Maybe I can pray for something for them. Maybe I can give an encouraging word. Man, maybe I can slip in a little challenge to challenge them to, you know, look at things not from their eyes, but see things from God's eyes, from our Creator eyes. You know, where is your mind at these days when building healthy relationships? Where's your heart? Is your heart in it? Do you know that if your heart is not in it, you're not going to be in it?
That's right.
I'm telling you, if your heart, if you're not feeling it, guess what? Oh, well, ain't nobody going to be feeling it either because I am done with it. I'm moving on to something else. When your heart is in it, man, it means you're in it emotionally.
Yep.
It's feeling the connection. Your heart's in it. Your mind's going to be a little more focused.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to be fired up for it. You're going to be a little sold out. You're going to become radical about, I'm all in for this.
Yep.
Now, one thing I love the Ravens for football. Now, I love sports, but I love it. You know, in this NFL, it's just not any football. So, let me talk about, hey, college football. They'll be like, okay, yeah, we hear you, but we do NFL. What's wrong with my college? What are you trying to say? You know? But I love, but their example of that radicalness, it's an example showing that you need to be radical about building a relationship. I guarantee you, if another couple came in here and said they were fired up by NFL football, there's going to be a connection. They're going to build. God's going to use them and say, you're going to build on this platform. Y'all both love NFL. You have something to connect to and build on. But they have to be radical about it. You keep me talking about you love NFL football, and all you know is what the ESPN tells you, give you the highlights. You got to be in the details like they are. You know what I mean? Got to be in the details. If you're going to build, guess what? You got to be radical about God's plan. God says your mind needs to be set where? On things above.
That's right.
Your heart needs to be where? On things above. You cannot build a healthy relationship if God is not the head, is not at the head of what you are thinking and what you are feeling. He talks about getting away from that earthly nature. Ooh, that earthly nature, something else, ain't it? Man, that earthly nature, man, it does something to you. But God challenges us. God says, hey, look, you get your mind on things above and off your earthly nature. You know, is it in the desires of your life or the one who gave you life? What I mean by is your mind and your heart, is it set on the things of life that you see? Like, I desire this. We all desire things. I desire this. I desire that. Or is your heart and mind set on, I desire God, the one who gave you life. I desire more of what he wants versus of, let me just enjoy life and do my thing.
Come on.
That's what you got to ask yourself. Building healthy relationships will always begin with setting your mind and heart on things above. Where the mind and heart goes, guess what? So do you.
Yep.
Where the heart and mind goes, so do you. So we're going to talk about some things here. Pick it up in verse 3. Say we have verse 3. Verse 5. Pick it up in verse 5. It says, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Point two, you must kill. You must kill. Whoever used to watch the show, I still like it, Forged in Fire. Nobody watches Forged in Fire. It's where these guys, they bring the, like if you're a blacksmith, or Trey Smith, you make knives and stuff like that. So they bring people in from all over the world. They say they can do this. And then they get you there, and they up in this cloth, there's something covered. You don't know what it is. So you coming in, I got 23 years, I've got 4 years, I've got whatever, how many years of experience, and I tell you a story, I can do this, and so. And I've seen some upsets. I've seen the person with 4 years beat the person out with 30 years of experience. I'm just blown away. But anyway, they lift a cloth up, and they take away, and they have all these different types of medals, and they say, you need to make this certain knife at this certain perimeter, this certain way, with this certain tang on. And you're like, wow. And the hardest thing for people to do there is follow instructions. Because they're like, okay, I'm going to do it. They're like, oh, God, I didn't make it, or it's too short. Or they make the knife and it's brittle. Because once you make your knife, they take it and they put it against other metals, and they take hammers and stuff, and they'll hit it. And they hit it, and I've seen knives just break and shatter. And I was like, oh, my goodness. But anyway, the guy on there at the end, when you do a good job, I think he's an oriented guy, he used to say, it will kill. And so it's like become a trademark through everywhere, it will kill. And so I thought about that, and I thought about what God said, he said, you must destroy, you got to put to death. So you must kill. And what are the things that we have to kill? If you're going to build a healthy relationship, there's a lot of things you got to kill in your earthly nature. God goes back to that. God said, let me tell you something. If you're going to build healthy, we got to deal with some issues in your character. And it's not just you, but God said, yeah, you need to focus on you. Yeah, there's the person next to you got to focus on that. And he got to focus on that. But I need you to take this seriously. And I need you to put to death the things that are stopping you from building healthy relationships.
Right.
And he gets on this list and you're like, wow, things of my earthly nature. What are the things we're talking about? And God says, number one, he says sexual immorality. I'm here to tell you, I don't care who you are. We've all struggled with it. This does not matter. But you feel like, oh Lord, he's talking about me. Oh, you're not the first. And it's sad to say you won't be the last. But I love God has a plan to help us get away from that.
Amen.
So that the flesh doesn't dominate us. So we don't feel like, oh, I can't beat it. God is bigger than anything that he has created. And he has a plan. He says we need to abstain from sexual immorality. It's hard to tell somebody else that you need not have that activity until you get married if you are doing it. If you are being sexually immoral, I can't tell somebody else not to do it. You're not building healthy. It's not a healthy relationship building. But God said, hey, you and him, you and her, you're worth waiting for until the right time. That's until you get married. He says impurity. God says, I need you to be pure. If you're looking at things you have no business looking at, guess what? It's hard to tell somebody else, don't look at them things. And you're doing the exact opposite. God says you gotta be pure. If you're gonna build a healthy relationship with those that you're trying to help know God, you yourself have to fight and say, I'm gonna fight to be everything God needs me to be. I'm gonna be pure. I'm not gonna be immoral. I'm going to fight. And that's going to mean talking to other people. I came up in a culture, and it's great in our movement, and we still have it in our movement, where we have those conversations. But sometimes we feel embarrassed. We feel like, they're going to think I'm just a scum of the earth. Mm-hmm. They're going to think I'm the worst person in the world. And I tell people, you're not. Get in line. Take a number. Uh-huh. Matter of fact, don't take too many numbers. I want to be like Paul. I want to be the worst of sinners. I take two numbers. But people go through it. But God has a plan. And God said, we're going to put it to death. We're not going to let that thing dominate you. We're not going to allow those behaviors that make you live in fear and be scared, like, oh, they're going to think the worst of me. No, God said, we're going to put it to death. That's the charge, and that's the challenge. Got to be pure. It says, man, we got to put to death lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. All this stuff is idolatry. Ain't it something? Greed, idolatry. You must kill all these things. Kill your earthly nature. Why? Because it is improper for God's people. Ephesians 5 speaks about that. It's a distraction. It will pull your focus from God and his plan for your life. It will. I promise you. If you're entertaining any of these things right here at all, you're in constant conflict. You're in a fight. You're in a war. You're in a battle. But if you lean more toward God, the earthly nature has no authority over you. God and his plan for your life. It makes you, you must kill your earthly nature. If you don't kill your earthly nature, of course, it puts you in conflict. I think about, just falling a team captain. Who's ever been on a team with somebody? Like you've been on a project, been on a team with somebody. And they give you these specific instructions. And this is how we're going to do the plan. Now tell me if you're this person. Somewhere along the line, you get the great idea that you're going to alter the plan. I think it'll go better this way. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but when you got to give accountability to why you altered the plan, does it go well? Pretty much. It just does it. It's the same thing with God. It's the same thing. God is our team captain. God is the author of what it looks like to build a healthy relationship.
Right.
Him, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit are showing you. This is what it's like when three work together as one. God said, I need you to get on board with the team and build healthy. But God said, if you continue to entertain your earthly nature, guess what? At some point in time, you're going to want to alter my plan of what it looks like to be a healthy representation of me and to try and build a healthy relationship with other people. And people will notice that. And people will question you on that. And people say, I thought you said you go to church. I thought you said you do that. I thought you said you don't do that. People will see that and they will bring it back to you.
Yep.
Building a healthy relationship is about killing the earthly nature. Mm-hmm. Do not let the earthly nature reign in your body. Going further down, guys, to verse 8. It says, but now you must also rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices. Third point is, you must rid yourself. You ever want to get rid of something? Like it's got to go. I grew up in the days of watching the show Martin. And Martin used to have this saying, talking about, get to stepping. You got to get to stepping. That's how we need to feel about certain things in life. Get to stepping.
Come on.
That's it. And Martin said it all the time. I don't know why he used to give Pam a hard time. Even though they, all of them, he wanted to get to stepping. But that's how we need to feel about the things that are wanting to trap us. And God says, you must. I love that word. He says, you must. Not an option. He says, you must. That needs to be in your heart, your mind, so that I must deal with this. I must get rid of it. Because if I don't, I'm going to be an unhealthy person. And anybody else I come in contact with, I'm going to make them unhealthy. I don't want to make nobody else sick. Do it. That's you right. know, we're getting to the season where it's, again, cold, flu, all that stuff comes around. And we know it's very active. And although we like people, I don't care if you're sitting in your office, cubicle, sitting in a classroom, I don't care if you're sitting outside, I don't care if you're sitting with some friends. Somebody say they're sick, you're like, okay, all right, cool. Let them sneeze. You're like, oh, you become a little bit more conscious about, hey, wait a minute, hold on. You know, and then of course they say, you know, if you sneeze, don't sneeze in your hand because we have so much interaction with each other's hands. But still I'm always like, so you sneeze in your elbow, what happened? We have to do a lockup and we locking up elbows. You know, I'm always thinking like, you know, or what they done and you never know they did that. You think I'm saving. Yeah, I'm just passing germs on the nail, you know. Or what about those people who feel like, well, I'm not going to sneeze with my hand on my mouth, anything like that. But since I'm out in public, I'm going to sneeze, I'm just going to sneeze out in the air. Well, I got to breathe that in no matter where I go. It's just so many things that occurs and happens, you know. But, I just think of the little things like, so did I really, you know, is it really safe? But we got to have the heart that we want to get rid of certain things. He says, get rid of anger. Why do we need to get rid of anger? Ephesians 4:26-7 says, guess what? Do not allow anger what? Who knows that one? Do not allow anger to stay in your heart. You don't want to give the devil a foothold. I know. He tells you got to deal with anger before you go to bed. Now, who's going to bed angry? Oh, man, I'm going to bed mad. God says you need to deal with it before the day ends because you don't want the devil to get a foothold.
That's
right. You say, well, how is the devil going to get a foothold in that? How does the devil get a hold of me in that? I want to ask you something. When you go to bed angry, do you still wake up angry?
Yeah.
Well, that foothold pretty tight, ain't it?
Yep.
The devil's like, oh, I got you locked. And then the more that you stay angry, guess what? Sometimes the less you want to deal with it, do you? Don't want to be bothered with it. I'm still mad. Bro, that's like a week later, man. Can we move on? I mean, Easter came and everything. What happened to all that, you know? Can I move on? God says, anger. He says, do not be angry. Do not let the sun go down with anger in your heart. He said, you got to deal with that. You must rid yourself of that. Rage. Proverbs 29 says, fools, this key word, it says, fools give full vent to the rage. To their rage, but the wise bring calm in the end. Now, I don't want to be identified as a fool, but he let you know. Those of us who want to go into a rage or be raged, he said only a fool pays attention to that, fully entertains that. God says you've got to rid yourself of rage. You have to do it. He talks about malice. This is something, man, that we really have to watch out for malice. Malice, he says, look that defines, he says, intentionally desires to do evil.
Mm-hmm.
That means you purposely desire to do evil. Hebrews 10:26-30 talks about, it says, if you intentionally, deliberately keep on sinning, there ain't nothing left to save you. That's always stuck with me. He said, if you deliberately mean you are intentionally going out and I'm going to do wrong. He said, if you intentionally continue to do that, he says, there is nothing left to save you. I got nothing else. And I feel God on that. Think about it. Imagine you're God. You sacrifice your child for the world. And they said, well, I'm going to keep on sinning. Do you got anything else? You're like, wait a minute, hold on. I just gave you my firstborn. You wish me if I got anything else that's precious and dear to me. I gave you a piece of me. God says, you know what? If you're going to build healthy relationships, you got to get rid of anger, rage, and malice. Slander. Damaging a person's reputation with false statement. This is very dangerous for building a healthy relationship. Because we all talk a lot. We all have conversations.
Yep.
People tend to remember things you say. We have to be careful when we're discussing things. Even when we discuss, we're always going to discuss people. It's just, you're going to discuss people. But you need to discuss people with respect and in a positive way.
Yep.
You don't need to make things up about people. It's just part of it. Don't talk about so-and-so. Don't discuss it. We got to talk about them. You know, if it's involved in something we're doing, but there's a way to do it respectfully. We need to do it respectfully. God says, don't slander.
Sure.
A lot of times we get slander because we want to make things up. I don't know why it is in our nature that we want to just make things up. I feel like, well, this is what I assume. This is what I believe. Don't need to do that. Let's just discuss the facts of what's happening. Building a healthy relationship is not damaging somebody's reputation.
Right.
It's not damaging somebody's character. That's building healthy relationships. Mm-hmm. Don't want to damage. Finally, it says, filthy language. Man, if you clean up your thoughts and your heart, guess what? Your mouth will be fine.
Yep.
If you clean up your thoughts and your heart, your mouth will be fine. Matthew says it and Mark says it. When Jesus says, what comes off the lip comes from what?
The heart.
The heart. Goodness. I think it's Jeremiah that says, you know, above all, the heart is deceitful. Who can understand it?
Yep.
And people, we all have said it. Some of us still say it. Those who know better don't say it no more. But we all say it. But I feel it in my heart. God warns about that heart, not only in Jeremiah, but also in Proverbs. He said, man, be wary of that heart.
Mm-hmm.
That heart can feel one thing one moment, something else the next. You know, there's a word that Sheree's sister used to use. She said, it's fickle. Fickle people. You know, I go look at my words. Like, what does that mean, fickle? I mean, you like one day you went one way, next day you're the other. Filthy language. Got to keep our thoughts and our heart clean. If you keep those clean, your language would not be filthy. But if your heart and your thought is not clean, oh, wow. There's not a filter in the world that can help your mouth.
Right.
Not a filter in the world that can help. Finally, guys, let's go down here wrapping it up in verse 12 and 13. I love it. So God has given all these challenges. So all these challenges, he starts off first by like, where your mind and your heart needs to be if you're going to be a healthy person and if you're going to build healthy relationships with each other. And then he goes in between and said, let me tell you the things that are not healthy for you to be associated with. Things that are not healthy that should not be in your character. He said, let's deal with all those things. And then he says, finally, he said, let's bring it back. He said, let's just bring it back here. And in verse 12, he says, therefore, as God's chosen and holy and dearly loved deserve for God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. He says, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. We're quick to say the Lord forgave me.
Uh-huh.
We're not too quick to say I'm going to forgive somebody else. What a challenge. You are challenged to forgive as God forgave you. You are challenged to extend the same grace that God gives you. You are challenged to extend the grace to somebody else. That same exact grace, not altering the plan. If you're going to build healthy, you've got to imitate the one you're following. But I love he starts out and he says, therefore, he gives you an identity. You're God's chosen people. He says you're holy. Holy means you're set apart. You don't act like the people in the world. He just pointed out the things in the world that people do. And he says, not only are you set apart, he says, but you are dearly loved. Love it. He says, clothe yourselves. So let's talk about this. Do you have on the right clothes? Do you have on the right clothes? Yeah, think about it. Do I have on the right clothes? What kind of clothes am I wearing? I need to have on the clothes of Christ. I need to have on the spiritual clothes. Or do I have on worldly clothes? But God kind of gave a kind of a snapshot of what worldly clothes look like when we talk about anger, rage, and all the stuff we need to get rid of for the devil. God said, those are the wrong clothes to have on. He said, if you have those clothes on, you're not dressed right. You're not dressed appropriately. Especially if you're saying that you're one of my children. You're not dressed appropriately. He says, but you need to put on the right clothes. You know, at the same time, you need to be aware of wolves and sheep clothing. He talks about that in Matthew 7, 15. You see, God is choosing you whom he loves. But the question is, will you choose God by putting on the correct clothing every day? Are you going to dress in the right clothing every day? I felt like the Holy Spirit was talking because he had Nora share about it. And Patricia's like, wow. And it's like, you need to get up in the morning and start your day with God. Yep. You need to get up in the morning and get in the Word. I like both of these guys that said the same thing. You need to get up and dress yourself correctly. How do you do that? Start your day with God.
Yep.
Man, what do you say when you tell God, well, God, I just didn't know. And when Nora and Patricia said you had to get up in the morning and dress up, you know, start your day with me, well, what happened with that? Got to dress. If you get up in the morning and start your day right with God, you're putting on the correct clothing. You're dressing right.
Right.
One of the things he says is you need to dress with compassion. Let me tell you something about us. We're people, we like to throw certain words around, and it's how we're feeling when we throw it around. Like, you need to love. We don't throw it around in the right context when we say you need to love.
Sure.
Or, you know, I have grace. We don't put that in the right context. Or, you need to show some compassion. We don't put it in the right context. The context we're putting it in is, can you just lean in my direction on how I'm feeling about these words that I'm throwing out? You know what I'm saying? This is how I'm feeling, so I need you to lean the way that I'm saying this word, and in other words, disagree with me. But that's not the way those words are meant to be. No. God says, look, compassion. What is compassion? Compassion is sympathetic pity, or compassion is concern for the suffering of others. That's what compassion is. Concern for the suffering of others. Not concern because you don't want to deal with the issues, or I'm not feeling this way, or I don't, why we got to talk about that? Compassion, you got to dress up in that. And when you put compassion on as one of your clothing, now you're concerned about other people other than yourself.
Yeah.
But Lord, you know, I like being to myself. I'm not saying I'm selfish, but I'm just going to spin it another way. I just like being to me, like having my own time. God allows us to have time to ourselves. But guess what? 99.9% of your time need to be, you know what? I need to be concerned about those who are suffering.
That's right.
Who are suffering? Those who don't know God. Those who are not in a healthy relationship with God.
True.
Those who don't know what a healthy relationship with God looks like. But you are the example. You are the people that God is choosing to say, hey, you're going to be the example of what a healthy relationship with me looks like. But you only can be that way if you put on the right clothes. You gotta put some compassion on. When you put compassion on, guess what? You'll want to build relationships with other people. You'll be intentional about wanting to go out and build with other people, because now you are concerned about their suffering in this world. Another piece of clothing he tells you to put on, he says kindness. This is the quality of being friendly, gracious, and considerate. Kindness. You gotta be kind at all times. Even when other people are not kind. Even when people are just mean. Even when people say things they shouldn't say. You gotta put some kindness on. You gotta clothe yourself with kindness. So that you can be considerate and generous. So that you can be kind to other people. Humility. Man, I gotta put some humility on. Humility, it is a modest or a low view of one's own importance. I don't know about you, but I like to think highly of me. And highly of me. Man, if you're gonna be like Christ, you gotta put that clothing of humility on. That humility is probably like a whole suit or something, overall coveralls or something. But
God says you have to take the position, your mindset, that although I'm important, I'm not that important.
Yep.
I need to be thinking about other people, their needs. How can I meet their needs? How can I help them? How can I build them up? I came over, I told you this guy maybe a couple of weeks ago, a month ago, I say, I always ride by people, and I'm like, man, I wish I just had time to stop, Well, I think it was Thursday, days running so fast, but anyway, it's hot, and if you come off Meadowbrook, if you get off of the Meadowbrook exit, instead of the north side exit, get off the Meadowbrook exit, and you come down, and it's going to take you to the north side, you keep going straight, and as soon as you come over the hill by News, there's a car stop right there in the inside lane park. I'm thinking like, oh, somebody go hit her, because I almost hit her. So I'm asking, she's a young girl, I'm like, you know, what's going on? I said, well, let me pull around here. See, gotta help you get on the road, because you're going to get hit. Because as soon as you come over the hill, she's just there. And so I had a chance to just stop and like, man, let you know, feeling some compassion, showing some kindness, and trying to figure out. And then her car went door. I said, why is your car not moving? And I couldn't figure out. I said, something's locked. So I'm out there. It's hot. I'm sweating. I'm flagging traffic. I call JPD. Hey, can you get somebody to come over here? You really need somebody to sit at the top of this hill, because somebody's going to hit her, and it's going to be this tragedy everywhere. And so I'm there waving off traffic. I think some people, you know, we just were people. They're flying by. I think this guy's going to hit me. This guy's ain't slowing down. I'm waving as hard as I can. You know, he's going to hit me and everything. So I'm trying to help her and help her get right. Her mom comes, and we're trying to get right. And this other guy comes by, and you see two different people. I'm thinking like, wow, me and him have two different motives here. So he's out. He's trying to hit on the young lady, apparently trying to help her. And I'm like, I'm trying to keep us from getting hit. You know, he's trying to flirt with the girl. I'm like, dude, we're trying to get this lady from being hit. Finally, JPD comes along. They block traffic. A record guy comes by and says, hey, let me help you get on the road. Because we're all like, we're all going to get hit here. You know, we're going to get tore up. And so eventually it all ends up working out. But I thought about, man, I had to stop thinking about, I need, you know, be so important. I need to get home. I need to do this and do that. Like, wait a minute. She's at home. She's good. My daughter's there with her. She's good. Everything good. Let me take time to stop and let me serve somebody here. There's a need here. And it was not only serving that young lady, but it was to prevent other people from coming over the hill and somebody else may hit her and have a bad day or a bad week. Mm-hmm. You know, it takes humility to say, I'm going to make the time to stop. It's one thing to say, I'm going to stop and serve. It's another thing to say, I'm going to stop. Let me help. Let me show some compassion. Let me just, you know, I'm not important right now. This is more important than what's going on. Finally, it says gentleness. Oh, we like to think that we're gentle, you know. The quality of being kind, tender, and mild-mannered. He also talks about patience. Oh, the patience people in here. The capacity to accept or tolerate without getting angry. Oh, man. Who's very patient in here? Very patient. Short patience, short fuse. So, like, why can't we just get on with this? You know, why are we waiting? Why is it taking a lot? I mean, really, it takes time. You know, we think a lot of things, you know. We pull out on the outside. Yeah. But in the mind, like, oh, patience. God said we need to clothe ourselves with patience. There need to be a lot of tolerance and to just accept the capacity to accept certain things that are happening without getting angry. I think we need to be like God more in that area. God really has a lot of patience with us. And he accepts the fact that some of us are slower than others about saying, I want to get right with God. Mm-hmm. A lot of patience. Forbearance. He says, bearing with one another. That's just practicing patience and restraint. Bearing with one another. Why can't you just get it and we can get on? Why can't you get the message and we just get on? That's how some of us feel, but we got to be forbearing. Finally, forgiveness. Mm-hmm. Forgiveness is letting it go and moving forward. Who's good at that? Letting it go and moving forward. Don't let it go, man. Oh, I know. I've been there. Forgetting it, letting it go, moving forward. That's the clothing we got to put on forgiveness. Oh. She said she's not too bad. All right, hey, amen. Let's go to your wardrobe, borrow some clothing, so, for forgiveness. But that is the challenge of what we need to be dressed in every day. This is the clothing that we need to put on every day. You know, building, in order to build healthy relationships, you have to be healthy.
Yep.
You just have to. In order to build healthy relationships, you have to be healthy. And if you're not healthy, it's time for you to get healthy.
Yep.
If you're not healthy, it's time for you to get healthy. How do I get healthy? I need to get in the Bible.
I need that set in my mind that I want to be in the Word of God. You know what you said this morning? And guess what? For those who are like, man, well, I need to be in a Bible study. I want to understand what it means to follow Christ and the things that I need to change. I need to sit down and say, study the Bible with me. I need to get healthy. If I'm going to build healthy relationships with others, man, I need to fight to be healthy with God.
That's right.
I need to also realize that building healthy relationships with others is about changing my character. It's about becoming more like Christ and less like me. You all need to realize, like myself, you can't help nobody if you are not living the life that you profess.
Yep.
You just cannot. I love this passage. I love the challenges that God gives us here. And I love the fact that God is very relational. Matthew 22:36, boy, do we know it well. What healthy relationships should look like. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. Mark stretches a little farther and says, with all your strength. That's what a healthy relationship looks like with God. And God says, secondly, love your neighbor
as yourself.
Healthy relationship. You cannot build a healthy relationship with nobody else if you are refusing and unwilling to get right with God.
That's right.
If you are refusing and unwilling to build a healthy relationship with God, I don't care how you feel, what you feel like. Well, I feel like this. I feel like God said you'll feel like this today and feel like one thing the next day. If you're unwilling to love God with everything, you're not able to build a healthy relationship with the church, and you're not able to build a healthy relationship with the lost. You just won't, because you'll always be thinking about you. Let's be men and women in this church who desire to build a healthy relationship with God, who desires to build a healthy relationship with each other, and who desires to build a healthy relationship with those who are lost. Let's have a heart to get after it. Let's have a heart to stay fired up, and let's stay radical for the Lord. Let's do what God calls us to do. Let's build, build, build. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you guys so much.